believe, all things are possible, only believe. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we love you, Lord. It's the first thing we want to say out of our mouth. And Lord, we ask that you would, as your scripture says, if we be any otherwise minded, you'd reveal it to us. And so, Father, we're laying our minds, our hearts, our souls at your feet this morning for the correction of your word. And we ask you, Father, to help us to have a better understanding where Jesus has spoken that in the last days the spirits would be so close that it would deceive the very elect if it were possible. And so, Lord, we're in that day, and we ask that you would help us not to be deceived, but rather be ready, rapture-ready, and resurrection-minded. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning will be Satan's Eden number 69, and it's entitled Twins number 11, Identifiable Characteristics, Part 1. And then shared attributes and characteristics. What we want to do this morning is to just simply go over why the spirits are so close. There's characteristics, there's attributes that are shared between the believer and the unbeliever because, or the true vine and the false vine, because the same revival bursts both. It bursts one spiritually by the Holy Ghost. It bursts the other one by the intellect. All right. So this morning we'll continue in our study of Satan's Eden and our mini-series concerning the Bible doctrine of twins. This will be our 11th sermon in the mini-series and the first one concerning the identifiable characteristics of each seed line. I realize there are many who consider themselves to be Christians and consider themselves also to be in the know. Now, these are people who condemn the doctrine of serpent seed as being hateful and racist. But those people have no understanding of Scripture, as the two vines doctrine is essential to understand how the two vines came into being in the first place. Understanding the seed of the serpent is the basis for understanding the two vines that is spoken of throughout Scripture. Now, granted, most of Christianity would deny the two vines doctrine. They say, well, everybody has a chance equal. Everybody, you know, it depends on their free will. Well, Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. All right, so that just throws their whole argument out the door. But these intellectuals consider themselves to be Christian, but in name only. Their lives show a different nature than the lives of the early Christians. These people belong to lodges with the names like Catholic and Lutheran, Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, and so many other names than Christian. These are the blasphemous names spoken of in Revelation 17 and 3. Now, from his sermon, Return and Jubilee, Brother Branham says, in the Revelation, the 17th chapter, if you'll read in the diaglot, the emphatic diaglot, of the original Vatican manuscripts, you'll find there in Revelation 17, in the King James Version, it says, and she was full of names of blasphemy. Now, the prostitute church, a daughter, she had daughters, many daughters associated with her, and she was a prostitute. The first organized religion ever was organized at Nicaea, Rome, at the Nicaea, after the Nicene Council, when she became an organization, a universal Christian church of an organization. She had daughters. And you see there, the King James Version put it, she had names of blasphemy. But in the original diaglot, it said she was full of blasphemous names. So Brother Branham is now going to take some time and define the difference between blasphemous names and names of blasphemy. I'd like to also note that the Council of Nicaea, I think, was around 325. And that Nicaea, Rome, after they had this council, and during this council, they decided on several things, of one which was using icons in the church. In other words, you know, people can worship through images and things like that. All right. Nicaea, Rome was destroyed. Or Nicaea was destroyed right after that and never resumed its prominence again. All right. Now, what a difference from the names of blasphemy to blasphemous names. I'm continuing reading here from Brother Brown. That means to me, I don't know if I'm wrong, God forgive me, but it means churches that has took on the names of Christianity, that live like the world and act like the world and do the things of the world and has brought a disgrace upon the true church of the living God. And they join those, you might join the Methodist Lodge or Presbyterian Lodge or the Pentecostal Lodge, but you cannot join the church. You must be born into the church by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that is true. So you could even call yourself a message church, and that would be a blasphemous name. Because there's only one church of the living God, and that's one that you're born into, and that's the family of God. Now, all things, from his message, all things, he says, now God wants to perform his word by his power. And when the church denies his power, how can he perform and vindicate his word? Let me read that again. God wants to perform his word by his power. And when the church denies his power, how can he perform and vindicate his word? We have churches in this message who deny John 14:12 is for anyone that believes. It's a believer. They believe that's only for Brother Branham. They're fulfilling what he says. When the church denies his power, how can he perform and vindicate his word? In other words, now we just have a church that's a historical church, and we can look back at William Branham and say John 14:12 was fulfilled by William Branham, but that's it. There's nothing for the church. There's no power of God left in the church. There's nothing. And that's, to me, blasphemous to say that. All right? Because you're denying his presence. When the church explains it away, it says it's for some other age or some other day and something. How can God, who wants to fulfill his word and perform his word among the people, and the people deny that he does it, yet they go through all the rituals, see, that here's what's happened. God wants to perform by the Holy Ghost and vindicate his word, and the church wants to perform. They have to deny the Holy Ghost. They want to perform to make a big organization and what else? To bring membership, no matter what you have, to baptize sinners and drunkards, bootleggers, anything else, and take them into the body of the church. No wonder Revelation 17 said this old prostitute woman that had a bunch of daughters, that she was full of names of blasphemous names, churches or daughters, calling the names of her daughters, people who joined churches and call that God salvation. And it's a blasphemy. Now, I know the King James Version says names of blasphemy, but you look in the Diaglot and see if it isn't. It says blasphemous names. There's quite a difference. She is full of those. She's got 900 and something different organizations in her, plenty of blasphemous names. Got away by some man-made tradition, got away from the true worship and the power of the original. And so we look to another sermon he preached, Return of Jubilee. He says, see, if you say Methodist, that's just a blasphemous name. You say Baptist, that's just a blasphemous name. We can say amen to that. But brother, let me ask you something. What about Pentecostal or Pentecost? It's not a born-again experience. It's still a blasphemy. If it's not a born-again experience, it's still a blasphemous name patterned after the beginning. Correct? That's right. See, they don't know one another. They don't know fellowship. All they know is their creed. They're just settled down like some kind of a lodge, like lodges. It's like the United Pentecostal Church. They took a beautiful scripture, Acts 2:38, and where Paul says or Peter says, "You'll be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be filled with the Holy Ghost." And then they immediately go to tongues. Because he says, you've been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. They say, see, the gift is tongues. It's not the gift is tongues. Tongues is a gift, yes. It's not the gift. The gift is Christ himself, the Holy Ghost. The gift is eternal life. All right? Now, lodges is all right if you want to belong to them, but don't associate it with the church. The church is a born-again bunch of believers that's in Christ by the Holy Ghost, led by the Holy Spirit. They're not of the world. They're not out of the world. They're different from the world. That's what makes them what they are. Their life is dead, and they're hid in Christ, and dead in Christ, and hid and sealed by the Holy Ghost, they're away from the things of the world. Again, from Return and Jubilee, he says, now what do? They did the same thing that Israel did. Oh, they had a victory. They shouted. They danced. They spoke in tongues at Pentecost down here in Louisiana 50 years ago. But as Israel wanted something to do themselves, so did the Pentecostal church. They'll organize the Assemblies of God. Then after that came the other. I believe it's called United or something. Then along came one another, and then another one, and then another one, and then another one, until look where it's at today. You know what they've done. The same thing Israel did. When they rejected God's provided place for them, they begin to wander. And that's what the church has done today, wandering about and taking in everything in their denomination, tobacco smokers, unholy people, married four or five times and everything else, and let them preach and take a hillbilly singer out yonder, out of the rat house out there one night and let him play on the platform the next night. Why, it's a disgrace to the church of the living God to think of such a thing. Certainly. What do? It brought blasphemous names. It throwed Pentecost, the very name that should be holy, it throwed it into a spot because they say he's Pentecostal. She's Pentecostal. They're Pentecostal. Look at what they do and act. That's right. Blasphemous name. Sure. That's the truth. So, he's not saying to be Pentecostal is wrong. He's saying to be say you're Pentecostal and you're not filled with the Holy Ghost is blasphemous. All right? Now, from again, return Jubilee. Return, return, the Holy Spirit cries, return. I can think of when Jesus looked out over Jerusalem and he wept. He loved it. And they had rejected him. And the man that's filled with the Holy Spirit tonight, or with the Spirit tonight, can look out over the church and see a people that ought to be shining with the glorious power of God, and the Holy Spirit within your heart weeps tears of regret. What have we done? And I can say the same thing, and that's why sometimes I sound like an old Scrooge up here. I sound like, why is he always so negative about things? Because I see the church in decline. I see the people of God in decline. They're focused on other things instead of getting ready for going home. All right, he said, God called us, our fathers, out 50 years ago, and we returned back. And you see what has got us? A disgraceful bunch under the name of Pentecost, people who smoke and drink and marry three or four times, women who cut their hair, paint, use their shorts, their immoral clothing, everything, call themselves Pentecostal sisters. What a disgrace on the name of Jesus Christ. What a disgrace upon his church. No wonder he says blasphemous names was found in the Babylon organization, confusion, all messed up, all kinds of this, that, and the other. Where's Christ in the whole thing? Return, people. Again, from a sermon called Why I'm Against Organized Religion. Brother Ryan says, Father, let this church never rest their eternal destination upon a sensation, upon an organization, upon anything less than Christ himself, living in them, vindicating his word through them and his promises. May from the least little child here tonight until the oldest person receive this experience. And may every man or woman, boy or girl, who hears this tape, may it be so with them, Lord, and give them the understanding that I'm only trying to warn and call out, for this hour is later than we think. And we see Babylon, the mother whore, and all of her prostitute daughters assembling themselves together. And God, we realize that the scripture says that the tares out of the wheat field will be bound first in bundles. And they have bound in bundles, calling themselves blasphemous names that really doesn't pertain to them. It's not pertaining to the church either. It's lodges, not churches. There's only one of them, Father, and that's the one you died for. and have not died to self. You see, to be born again, you must die first. Otherwise, you're not born a second time. You're still living the same life you lived before. So, dying to self is the first requirement of being a Christian. The word Christian was first coined in the early days of the church because the people were said to be Christ-like. Hence, they were called Christians. In Matthew 13:24, Jesus speaking, he says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like it unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemies came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath the tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them into bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and the disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that has sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned, now remember, this word angel is a small a. That means a minister, a pastor, etc. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of the world. The Son of Man shall be sent forth his angels, messengers, pastors, etc. And they shall gather out of the kingdom all things that offend and them that which do iniquity. In other words, each denomination is basically formed around a minister or a ministry. All right, the ministry may be two souls. It began by a certain minister, or it might be Seven Thunders, or it might be Perusia, or it might be whatever. And I'm not saying that any of these things are wrong. I'm saying, if they're taken in light of Scripture. But what I'm saying is that you can have a creed, and that's your absolute, instead of the entire Word of God, instead of all that the prophets have said. All right? And they shall the Son of Man shall send his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Now remember, iniquity is you know to do right, but you don't do it. In other words, you know John 14:12 is right, but you don't believe it because of a creed. Because of, you know that eating meat is okay, but you don't do it because of a creed. You know, I actually know a minister who his church didn't believe in eating meat, and when he was challenged on where Paul says, this know at the end time, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, abstaining from meat and avoiding marriage. And he said, well, that doesn't speak of the end time. Well, Paul says, this know that at the end time, this will happen. So how can you say you see, people get spirits on them. They're focused on a creed, a spirit, and they all lump around that like a bunch of hogs in a pen when you throw them a piece of meat. All right? It's just, you know, or like a piranha on a piece of flesh. All right? Anyway, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of the kingdom all things that offend, and which do iniquity, that know to do right, they don't do it, or know not to do, and they do it anyway, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. Thou shalt be wailing and gnashing of teeth, that's tribulation. Then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now this morning, I would like to examine the identifiable characteristics of twins, or the two vines as found in Scripture. As you well know, there are two sources of life and two seeds that we're dealing with when considering the subject of twins. We have the tree of life and we have the tree of death, okay? We found in our first study of definitions that the main definition is twins are born at the same time and have the same mother. Now, this is essential, for if they are not born at the same time, but have the same mother, they might be siblings, but they're not called twins. So twins must have the same time of birth and the same mother. Now, this morning we shall look at the identifiable characteristics of these biblical twins, for it is necessary that to recognize the life source of any creature, there must be some identifiable characteristics specific to the one being identified. Now, there are several characteristics we shall examine that fit both sides of the twins. Our examination consists of those who are children of God and those who are children of the devil. Now remember, twins is the same mother, same time of birth, same mother, but not necessarily the same father. We've had many instances throughout history where a woman would have a black child and a white child and find out that she was impregnated by her husband in the evening, and then the next day her husband went to work and her lover came over, which is a black man, and she had a baby, and she got impregnated by him, and so therefore she ends up with twins. And very definitive that the white man didn't produce the black baby. All right, so it was easy for people to understand, hey, something has happened here, something which is not righteous, which is not right. Now, Matthew 13:38, we read, the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. All right. In other words, the Son of Man went forth sowing seed, righteous children of God. The enemy came into the same field, same churches, same revival, and started sowing his intellectual seed. 1 John 3:10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither is he that loveth not his brother. Now I'm going to give you a handful of scriptures here just to establish there's children of God, children of the devil. Romans 9 and 8. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Again, Galatians 3:26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Matthew 5 and 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, the first attribute I want to speak on are attributes of both twins that they share. These attributes and characteristics tell us nothing of source, for both twins share them equally. These shared attributes and characteristics do not identify the source or the father. They only identify that they have the same mother, but are necessary in understanding why the doctrine of twins is so important to understand. Because people can come to church, they can hear a man on the radio say, oh, you know, let's pray to God, you know, for our country. Or even, we'll pray in the name of Jesus for our country. And we say, oh man, he's a Christian. It doesn't mean he's a Christian. Listen to, you got to just look at the entire scope of things. You know, you can't just, you can't just look at a child and say, yeah, he's got his mother's eyes and mother's ears and mother's nose and this and that. That doesn't tell you who the father is. All right? Now, you can also say, but he's got his father's temperament. He's got his father's stature. He's got his father's height. You know, okay, now we're seeing both sources in that child. Well, so these attributes are shared. Now, I've got a list here. This first chart shows the attributes that are shared by both the children of God and the children of the devil. So the general attributes and characteristics are they're given birth in the same revival, same church, etc. Brother Rouse said the same message. All right? And he said this message. All right. So we have God's seed on one side, we have serpent seed on the other side. All right. Both are religious. All right. So just because a person is religious, it doesn't tell you anything about them. All right. They both eat from the same table of the Lord. Oh, they both believe the message. They both listen to the prophet. They both listen to Lee Vail. They both listen to Brian Kazori. It doesn't tell you anything about them. All right. They believe in one God, therefore they are a believer. So these people are genuine believers, both God's children and serpent seed. They are believers. The Bible says the devil believes and he trembles, right? Okay, they both quote from the Word. They both sincerely offer sacrifice to God. They both worship God in sincerity. Look, people that offer their children up to a volcano and throw their children into the volcano or into the crocodiles, they're sincere. They wouldn't do that if they weren't sincere. You see? They both offer praise to God. As it says in Hebrews 13 and verse 15, I think it is, offering the fruit of our lips, giving praise to His name. You don't go into any Pentecostal church without hearing praise. They do works to please God. Even the Catholic Church do works to please God. They receive a mark in their forehead and in their right hand. They both have a mark, but one has the mark of God. The other has the mark of Satan. One in their forehead, in their thinking, has the thoughts of God, the mind of God, the Word of God, and in their actions, the same. And the other have anti-word in their mind, and thus their actions anti-word. Both bear fruit. By their fruits you shall know them. So number one, both are given, will be given birth at the same revival. Both are religious. Both will eat from the same meat in due season, the same message. Both are believers in God. Both quote from the same Bible. Both worship God. Both do sacrifice to God. Both offer the fruit of their lips, giving praise to His name, as we read in Hebrews 13:15. By them, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. You can get a Pentecostal church that does not preach the Word at all, and they can march around the church for hour after hour, singing and praising God, and it doesn't tell you one thing if they're a believer or not. I mean, if they're a true believer or not. Proverbs 18:20, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. All right? And don't all false prophets and false teachers fill their belly by using their mouth? That is how they make their living. Sure, they're going to tell you things you want to hear. Because, you know, if they tell people things they want to hear, they're going to have more people paying tithes. They're going to have more people in the church. Both do works to please God. Both bear fruits by the words that they speak. Both will receive a mark in their forehead and in their hand, depending on the words that they speak. So, let's take these one at a time and give quotes in Scripture to verify that these things are correct. Now, number one, both are given birth spiritually speaking through the same revival. From the Ephesian church age, Brother Branham tells us, now we find out that they wanted to start and get into the form of godliness. Now, I could stop right here and say something, and I believe I will. Did you notice that every revival, now minister brethren, you check this, every revival produces twins. All right, so we see in Genesis 3 and 20, and Adam called his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living. And then chapter 4 and 4. Now the man Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have obtained a man, a baby, a boy, a son, with the help of the Lord. And later she gave birth to his brother Abel, twins, same mother but different daddies. As John the Apostle reveals to us in 1 John 3, verse 11. For this is the message which you believers have heard from the beginning of your relationship with Christ, that we should unselfishly love and seek the best for one another. And not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother Abel. And why did he murder him? Because Cain's deeds were evil and his brother's were righteous. Now, he's not saying that the act of killing was the evil act. He's saying prior to the killing, Cain was evil. His actions were evil and Abel's were righteous. What did he do? He offered God sacrifice. But it wasn't by revelation. It was by the works of his hands. Cain's firstborn son is named what? Come on. You should know this. His firstborn son is named what? Enoch. Enoch. But the seventh from Adam is named Enoch. So Cain knew that there would be a resurrection. He offered a resurrection offering. Deuteronomy 26, the first fruits. But without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And you can't go into a resurrected body in sin. So there had to be the offering of death by blood that Abel offered, a more excellent sacrifice. That's why it's called a more excellent, because Cain's was excellent, but it wasn't, and it was biblical. It was excellent because it was biblical, Deuteronomy 26, but it was out of season. You see? Out of season. So an out of season revelation or sacrifice. Because what is a sacrifice? It's your revelation given back to God. So an out of season revelation produces an out of season sacrifice. All right. So John tells us that Cain was the one that was the evil one, which was not Adam, for he was a son of God. Cain was of the evil one. And what about Esau and Jacob? They were both twins as well. All right, Genesis 25:22, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over, like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. All right, Romans 9:6. It is not as though God's word had failed. For not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, nor because they are his descendants are they called Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be recognized. In other words, it is not the children by physical descent who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. For this was how the promise was stated, at the appointed time I will return and Sarah will have a son. Not only that, but Rebecca's children were conceived at the same time by our father Isaac. Yet before the twins were born or had done anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose in election might stand, not by works, but by him who calls, she was told, the older will serve the younger, just as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What then Shall we? What then shall we say? Is God unjust? Not at all. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It does not therefore depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. For Scripture says to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Therefore God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to harden. Now, there are many other comparisons that we could give where twins were given birth at the same revival. We have Moses and Balaam. We have Jesus and Judas. We have Simon Peter and Simon the sorcerer, etc. Now, from his sermon, Blind Bartimaeus, Brother Branham, he says, every revival produces twins. The two sons of Isaac, as well represented, every time there's a revival, there's an Esau born and a Jacob born. One religious man of the world gets starchy and takes some seminary experience, and the other one wants that birthright regardless of how he has to get it. If he has to be a holy roller or anything else, he wants that birthright, I don't care. That's what's the matter with the people today. They're afraid of that birthright. Oh, how they hate that. But it produces twins. The men of the world were very religious inclined, do good alms and things, but cares nothing about the birthright. Those two factions have been fighting since the world began. And they're about ready to come to the head right now, where something that Jesus said would be so close alike that they deceive the very elected if it was possible. It's true. You see what a deceiving hour that we're living in. Stay with the word, brother. Don't leave that word. That's right. The word will speak for itself. That's why I hammer. It's the word, the word, the word, the word. Because in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. You have the word, you have God. All right? Now, from the mark of the beast, Brother Brian says, now, therefore, the great church making itself ready, we find out that Esau and Jacob, before either child was born, God said that he loved one and hated the other. And remember, they were twins. Same mother, same father. You get it? Twins. Every revival produces twins. It certainly does. There's twins born in the natural man and the spiritual man. It was back in the Garden of Eden, Cain and Abel, the same thing. Started from there. Just keeps going, coming on down. And look at the church. Jesus the pastor, Judas the treasurer, brothers out of the same tribe, so forth, right in the same group, same church. One the pastor, the other one the treasurer. One a devil and one God. That's the way it goes. Jesus said, in the last days, the two spirits would be so close it would deceive the very elected. If it was possible, amen. If it was possible, but it isn't. And they'll never do it. All right. All right, from the Ephesian church age. He reads from Genesis 4:11. It says, Eve said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. She does not credit Adam with the fatherhood of Cain. But in Genesis 4:25, she says, For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. She does not say God had given her another seed. That would have been Christ, for he is given. This son, Seth, was appointed instead of Abel. She recognizes her son that came by Adam. She does not recognize Cain, for he came by the serpent. And when she says another seed instead of Abel, she is saying that Cain was different from Abel, for if they were of the same father, she would have said so. I have been given some more seed. All right, so number two, both are religious. From wisdom versus faith, Brother Brown said, now these two sources have battled since Eden, God's faith against Satan's wisdom. God has proven in all ages that it will not mix. It must be separated to grow. Now, quickly, let me run over just a word or two on each one. I just take a few things that I got wrote here. Esau and Jacob was a perfect type. Both of them religious. Both of them twins. Esau was the ecclesiastical type. He was a man that was smart. He had a good moral stand and things like that, but he didn't have no use for that birthright. Jacob didn't care what he had to do, he just so that he got the birthright. And as long as they were together, they could not produce. Is that right? One was against the other. Have you caught it? Amen. Come out from amongst it, be ye separate, saith God, and touch not their unclean things, and I'll receive you. You see, Jacob had to separate himself from his denominational brother before God would ever bless him. God told Abraham the same thing, Israel and Moab. The 400 prophets of Israel stood before Micaiah, and Micaiah separated himself from them and got the word of the Lord and came back with it. Moses and Korah, same thing, wouldn't mix, they had to separate. Again, from restoration of the bride tree, he says the caterpillar, denominational Esau, Now, Esau, as Esau and Jacob, both of them twins, both of them religious, Esau was a carnal man. He was a good man. He didn't. You say, well, now, he didn't go out and steal and drink and do anything there. He was a religious man. But he thought, well, as long as I'm religious, what difference does it make? But little old Jacob, he didn't care how he had to get it. That birthright's what he wanted, no matter how he got it, just so he got it. If you had to get down at the altar and scream and cry and boo-hoo and snot, excuse me, and get it, go right up in his eyes. I didn't mean to say that, excuse me. And get down to the altar and cry through till he got it. Why, he got it. See? He didn't care how he got it, just so that he got it. Again, from days of our lives, he says Cain was very religious. And he thought on the thought of coming back to God, and God was willing to receive him back, but Cain wanted to come his own way. God wanted to come his way, and we find out that there was a conflict completely with him. Now, men today who try to say that they make their own creeds up and so forth, and he's doing that by the power of his father Cain and his father Adam. Not as in the Christians, who's born of the Spirit and depends on the Holy Spirit, is after the second Adam, which is Jesus, the atonement that leads the man by the Holy Spirit. And when men today try to say that they don't have to have the Holy Ghost, then you can see what kind of a state that man's in. He wants to be religious, though, but he wants it his own way. And he's so much like Cain. Cain wanted to be religious, so he went and made his own religion. And when he did, he brought it before God in something like this. Here's the best that I got. Here's the best that I got. This is all I can do about it. Now, take it or leave it. That's about the way man does today. I help build the church. I send my children to church there. I put money in it every year. And that's the best that I can do. Take it or leave it. Oh, see, he wants his own way. That's the way Cain did. But God still loved him, and he still went after him. What did God tell Cain? You'll do well if you'll just worship like your brother Abel. And Abel come God's way. But Cain wanted his own way. And God said, now, Cain, I've got nothing against you, but if you'll just come over and go the way that Abel goes, you'd be well. But what did Cain do? He killed Abel to get rid of him and get rid of his competition for God's attention. Well, with Abel out of the way, he figured, well, it's just me and God. See? Take on the whole armor of God, Brother Bram said. Now, God's people has always been uneducated and humble. Just tell me one time it was any other way. Watch your two sons. Watch Cain and Seth's children. Abel was killed, which was a type of death, burial, resurrection of Christ. Seth took his place. Now, Cain's children become intellectual, religious, because their father was intellectual, Cain, and religious. And Cain built an altar, and Abel built an altar. Cain made an offering, and Abel made an offering. Cain worshipped, Abel worshipped. And if God only respects a church, its order, its worship, its offering, and so forth, if that's all God respects, he was unjust for condemning Cain because he was just as religious as Abel was, but he didn't come the right way. You see, that is why God hates the modern Pentecostal, because they have forsaken the word in favor of worship. And if God required, if all God required was worship, then Cain would have been accepted, but he wasn't. Cain's sacrifice was much bigger and more beautiful than Abel's bleeding, dying lamb. And so is the Pentecostal's worship more beautiful and exciting than the true believer of God who holds to the word regardless? Now, can you see these, how they share the same attributes, but they just don't want the word, you see? Now, number three, but we're not getting into that today because we're just doing the things that they share, all right? Next week, we're going to cover on both Sunday morning and Sunday evening. We're going to get into attributes. I've got 17 of these attributes that define and separate them. All right? So you get maybe 4 in the morning, 4 in the evening, and then we'll do it 2 more Sundays. But now, both eat from the same table of the Lord. Jude tells us, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they naturally know as brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and have ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you. Feeding themselves without fear, they are clouds, that's witnesses. They are without water, without the Holy Spirit, carried about of winds, every wind of man's doctrine. Trees whose fruit, their teaching, withereth. In fact, without fruit, without teaching. twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, they're angry men, foaming off their own shame, wandering stars, always wandering away from the word and always wondering about this and that. To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now, Brother Branham tells us in Hebrews chapter 7, but if you notice, the old crow can sit over here on a dead carcass and eat half the day. The devil sat in a wheat field and eat half the day. The crow can fly right over there and eat dove food as much as he wants to. He could eat just as much wheat as the dove can. But the crow can eat the dove food, but the dove can't eat crow food. That's right. See, that's what separates you people and you people overseas from others. You can't eat what they're eating. So an old hypocrite can come to church and rejoice and shout and praise the Lord and go on like that and go right back out and enjoy the things of the world. But a born-again Christian cannot do it because the love of God constrains him to such a place he can't do it. So if you're just a Christian by joining the church and quitting doing this and that, and the same desire is in you, you need another dip. That's exactly right. And you women can dress with them little old shorts on and run out here on the street, then call yourselves a believer. You're a believer, but you're a poor example of one, maybe. If you really had Christ in your heart, you wouldn't have to think about such things as that. I don't care what the rest of the women does, the rest of the girls do. You'd be different. Because you'd love Christ too much. I talked to a woman the other day in the house, and she threw her hands up like this and said, Reverend Branham, I'm almost naked here in my house. I'm walking around, and I thought, shame on you. In your own house, I don't care where you are, that's right, dress and act like a woman, like a lady ought to, shame on you. But you keep. And the Bible said, if you love those things, the things of the world, the love of Christ is not even in you. But if you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, you'll keep them little dirty, nasty things off of you. That's right. Now, number four. Both believe in God and even quote God's word. James 2:19 says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well, the devil also believes and trembles. Now look how he quoted God's word to Eve. Look how he quoted it to Jesus. From why I'm a holy roller, Brother Anthony. Now, this is going to make you tighten up your ecclesiastical vest just a little bit. But listen, notice, God cannot be just. And if you say, I am a believer, so is Cain, and so is the devil. That's right. He came as a believer. And you say, well, I go to church. I'll go to the altar. So did Cain. Cain built an altar or a church under the Lord. You say, well, I'm a member of the church. So is Cain. And Cain made a sacrifice. You say, well, I pay so much every year into my church. So did Cain. I worship the Lord from the bottom of my heart. So did Cain. Cain was a believer, a worshiper, and just as fundamentally right as Abel was. Amen. Oh, I just love this. I pray, God, steam our hearts. Now, don't get excited. I know where I'm at. Now, look, but I feel kind of religious right now. Think about the rich young ruler. You know, he said, well, you know, Jesus said, you know, do the Ten Commandments, do this, do that. He said, yeah, I've done them all for my youth. You know, I've given the Lord a tenth of my all, and I've done this and done that. And the Bible says Jesus loved it. So Jesus said, okay, now, here's the test. Sell what you got and come follow me. He couldn't completely submit. He couldn't completely follow. He had to still have his hands in the till. He continues. Notice when I see the pro and con, when I see the negative and positive, when I see Cain come up there in the beginning. Now, we're back in the beginning, at the beginning of the tree. There's where it was planted. Cain was strictly a fundamentalist, just as fundamental as Abel was. He loved the Lord, he worshipped the Lord, and he built an altar to the Lord. He made a sacrifice to the Lord, he paid his vows to the Lord, just as religious any fundamentalist teacher could teach it today. That's right. But God accepted Abel's offering, because Abel, by faith, offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain by being just. Now, if we had time, I'd like to twist that. Now, there's the beginning of the two trees. I want you to watch one on the right, one on the left, Cain and Abel. Now, there's where this thing that we're living in today was planted right there in the Garden of Eden and started from there in Genesis, right there. And from the message preparation. Brother Benson, I told you the other night that Cain was a believer, and I'll give you a little stronger meat than that tonight if you want to believe it. The devil's a believer. The Bible says he is. He believes and he trembles. The devil is a believer. Now, if belief and faith in God is all you have to be saved, then the devil's saved according to the Word of God. That's right. But brother, it's got to take the Holy Spirit, a new birth, a regeneration, a new creature in Christ Jesus. When God comes down and puts His Spirit into you, then you're no more your own, but you're God's. Oh my, I begin to feel religious already. All right, number six. Both offer sacrifice to God and worship God and praise God. Matthew 5:45. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the just. He sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Okay. From the Lamb of the Dove, he says, I wondered about that one time. I saw a vision. It was made manifest how that a man went forth sowing wheat. When he slept, why, then the enemy came forth and sowed tares, which is scriptural. And when the tares come up and got ripe, hear me, the weeds was up also, the tares. And when there was a drought, and when the drought come, everybody was praying for rain. And a great black cloud come up and rained down, and little wheat raised up his head down like this. And it brought its little head up and began to say, oh, glory to God, praise ye to the Lord for sending the rain. And the little weed jumped up just the same as the wheat did and said, glory to God, hallelujah, for sending the rain. I said, now, I don't know what you think. And then I see them again, and the rain falls on the just and the unjust. The rain was sent for the wheat, but the tares being in there got the same benefit of it, the same rain. But by their fruits you shall know them, said Jesus. And remember, the rain, according to God's word, in Deuteronomy 32:1, is the word of God, falls like the rain. Deuteronomy 32:2, my doctrine shall fall as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Now, the NIV puts it this way. Let my teaching, that is what doctrine is, teaching, fall like the rain. And my words descend like dew, like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants. So, both the wheat and the tares enjoy teaching. You see, that's why you have so many so-called Bible teachers on the radio, but they're like Brother Vett. Anyway, I won't get into it, but they're false teachers. All right. Now, from so is the Father, Brother Vett said, now. But now back to Cain and Abel. When Cain worshipped, he built an altar. He sacrificed. He worshipped God. But that wasn't enough. And it was beautiful, no doubt. The flowers and things that grows in the field, and he decorated his altar. And from who do you say this is? He says, now, when he's seen he couldn't curse you, see? See what he's going to do. He's going to organize you. Do you hear what he said? If the devil can't curse you, he's going to get you organized. All right, bring you. Oh, we're all one anyhow. See, we all believe the same God. So that's just what Balaam did. And didn't Jude warn us of this? They erred in the doctrine of Balaam and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Doesn't Jude, the foster brother of Jesus, warn us of this in the Bible? They're like Cain from the beginning, the hireling, the one that went to church and built altars and churches and built altar and sacrifice. They err in the way of Cain. They run in the way of Balaam and perish in the gainsaying of Korah. Jude lays the whole thing out just like that we're doing it this morning here before you, like we've been doing it. The whole thing lays there. So, you see, Genesis began it all. All right, both do the works to please God. In Matthew 7:16, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs off of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. So, how do you know if it's a corrupt tree or a good tree? Didn't Peter tell us that you're born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever? So a corruptible seed is not word, but a incorruptible is the word. So even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but the corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Well, what made Cain work? What made Cain's works evil? It was a word for another day. You see? A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, the fruit from another day. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree bringeth forth not good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Doeth is a present tense. In other words, you are always in the act of doing. It's not you go to church one day a week, and so you've done your duty for the week, and then the rest of the week you live like devils. All right? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? That means preached in thy name. And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. I never ginoscoed you. I never had an experiential relationship with you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Ye that know to do what is right, and you just won't do it. Again from Ephesians, parallels Joshua, Brother Brown says, but there's one thing that they can do. They're good workers. Oh, they're just work, 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 work. That puts me in the mind of a bunch of these Arminians that's always trying to work their way into heaven. That's right. A mule. Oh, the ladies' aid society and the chicken suppers to pay the preacher. And we got to have this dance and this social. It's just work, 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 work. And what are they working for? Ask them. What have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they stick out their ears and don't know where they belong. What do you mean? What about this? What do you mean, the Holy Ghost? I've never heard nothing about it. Oh, you must be some kind of a fanatic. See, they don't know who Papa was. They don't know who Mama was either. What's that? A mule. You see? And you have to beat them on everything that you do. Beat here and beat there and beat here and beat there. That's right. An old mule. All right? From the Ephesian church age. He says, if God had that against this church, he's got it against that one too. Because you left your first love, I've got it against you. What's their first love? The Word. And they left it. I have something against you. That's my complaint. You once had a great time, but you let the world creep in, and you got to acting like a little formal, and you're still holding my name, and you're still holding the things that's right, and you got a lot of patience and so forth, and you labor, and you're like a mule. You just labor and work. Oh, my, my. See, but you've left grace and faith and power to swap it for labor and works. Now, so far, we've seen many characteristics both share. And after all, they have the same mother. They have the same church. They share the same birth at the same revival. Therefore, it is only expected that both will be religious. So if you are expecting your religion to save you, you're going to be in for a rude awakening. Both believe in God, both worship God, both make sacrifice to God, both talk the word, and both attend church and pay their tithes. But what separates them? Well, we're going to begin to examine the attributes which will show a completely different life source. And after all, did not Jesus tell us that by their fruits you shall know them? In Matthew 7:16 says, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns? No. Figs off of thistles? No. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, and by their fruits ye shall know them. Now, Brother Bram taught us that the fruits is the teaching of the season. If your teaching of the season is Luther's message or Wesley's message, you're teaching another season. It's got to be today. What did God show us today? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied, preached in thy name? And what name is that? Jesus. And in thy name, the name of Jesus, have cast out devils, and in thy name, the name of Jesus, done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I never ginoscoed you. I have never experientially known you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. We could get very particular with this, what he just said. I'm going to go back and just read it. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, there's your two lords, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied, preached in thy name? And what is the name of Jesus? It's Jesus. And in thy name, we've cast out devils in thy name, done many wonderful works, and I'll profess unto you, I never knew you. I never ginoscoed you. I never experientially known you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. What iniquity did they do? They said John 14:12 is for one man only. That's iniquity. When a prophet of God says he, every believer, everyone born again, he tells us these things, and they say, well, I've got so-and-so's quote on it. I don't need Brother Branham. Right there, you're lost. He told me you don't believe the message for the hour. And what is iniquity? Iniquity is a no to do right, and you won't do it. But yet they preach Lord, Lord, don't they? So they have to turn down right to do wrong, and that is who is speaking That's who he's speaking of here. Those who purposely turn down the truth for some reason, and the reason doesn't matter. What matters is when they are presented the truth, they turn it down. And from the anointed ones at the end time, Brother Brown said, now notice, but it's what they produce that tells you the difference by their fruit. Jesus said, you shall know them. Man does not gather grapes off of thistles, even though the thistle be right in the grapevine. That could be possible, but the fruit will tell it. What is the fruit? The word for the fruit for the season. That's what it is, their teaching. The teaching of what? The teaching of the season. What time it is? Man's doctrine, denomination doctrine, or God's word for the season. All right, Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's why they preach wrong. That's why a corrupt tree will bring forth corrupt fruit, because the corrupt fruit is in his thinking. The teaching for another day, that's in their thinking. So the Bible said, you are what you think. You are the summation of your thoughts. And so how do we know what you think? Because we're also told that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And what did Jesus call those who in their heart thought one thing, but for some reason they speak contrary to what they know in their heart to be truth? He called them serpent seed. He said, oh, generation of vipers. So what is a generation of vipers? A generation is a lineage. And vipers are serpents with a deadly tongue full of poison. So he's saying, how can you be being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and the evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. So he's talking about words. Whether idle words, good words, or bad words. He's speaking about words. By your words you are justified, and by your words you are condemned. And that is what he says next, Matthew 12:37. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Therefore it is not your actions that justifies you, nor is your actions that condemns you, but it is the word you echo. And if it is the word of God you are echoing, then it will be God's life that your life will also echo. And it is not the word of God in your mouth echoing from your heart, then your life will not echo God's life either. That's all there is to it. In 1 John 5 and 10, we read, he that believeth on the Son of God echoes the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, but he that believeth not the record that God gave, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that echoes the Son echoes life of the Son. And he that echoes not the Son of God echoes not life. So brothers and sisters, it all comes down to the word. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are truth. And by thy word you'll be justified, by thy word you'll be condemned. Therefore the word of God is our witness. So if you are truly holding the word of God dear to your heart, it will not only come out of your mouth, but it will guide every action of your life. And although we have shown so many attributes and characteristics that the true vine and false vine share, because they have the same mother, which is the same revival or move of God in which they are born, but because they have not the same father, there will be the word test that sets them apart. Next week, as I mentioned, we're going to get into those attributes and characteristics which actually separate the two. And you'll be able to identify what seed of God and what is seed of serpent. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we might study these things to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And Father, we just pray that you'd help us to grasp what was said this morning. Because so many times, Lord, we just want to be all-inclusive, which is actually what Balaam did. The doctrine of Balaam was to say, well, you know, we all have the same church. We all sing from the same pew. We all believe the same message. We all have the same prophet. Therefore, you know, we're one. No, we're not one. We're not one. It just means we have the same mother, same revival, same message. Father, help us to go into those things which actually separates us from everyone in this world except for your elect. And we'll do that next week. And we just ask you to bless this week, and may we prepare for it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face to shine upon thee.
Lord, bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his